You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. You know, your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you as always by Gateway Chevrolet. I am the host of the show and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me is Blake, the intern. Blake, how are you?
Doing all right. You know, patiently waiting the next
week. I suppose you graduated. What are we doing with that?
I did graduate.
Blake Engelbretson, maybe?
Sure.
There we go.
I can still be an intern and not a student.
No, find me another one.
No, but yeah, moving on, I guess. But actually, right.
But now, not moving on, still here.
I guess. Impatiently waiting the next Steelers head coach for the next couple of weeks. But in the meantime, we got a lot of good hoops going on.
Yeah, you know who I want for that job for a number of reasons. I'd like to get Brian Flores out of Minnesota and park his ass in Pittsburgh.
I would love B-Flow, but we will see what the Rooney's cook it up.
Yes, this is not the Steelers Report radio podcast, especially because not only do they not have a Bison out there, I don't think, but they got a rabbit starting on the offensive line.
Sure,
so we got not a lot of love there. In the news. Recording this on the 15th, you guys listening to this earliest the 16th of January, portal will close. There are 12 losses in the portal, 7 starters. Toby Enenna on his way to Colorado, Jalen Duffy on his way to UCF, Trent Fraley off to Michigan State, Bo Johnson off to Vanderbilt, kicker Eli Ozick off to Iowa, Chiquisa Alexander to Delaware. I can't imagine that's how anybody really wanted that to go. And then Caleb Bowers to, we don't know yet, that the long snapper is gone. He's been replaced. NAIA maybe? Or
yes.
2-time All-Conference. And I mean, long snapping is kind of like you can either do it or you can't. Like, I'm not much of a special teams like Maven, but I think a good long snapper doesn't matter where they come from. Like, there aren't a lot of athletic constraints being put on long snappers, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, if you have a Ross Kennelly who used to play linebacker and he's running down on coverage and you've got a good athlete on coverage, like, that's cool. But they had plenty of good coverage units with guys like James Fisher and et cetera, et cetera. Like, the point of that position is to be able to snap it.
Yeah, Brozio was the long snapper there for a couple years.
Right, and obviously, you know, that's, like, he was obviously good enough to be a offensive, defensive player as well, like a position player. Like, Brozio was good enough to be a position player as well. So you had another level of athlete of that caliber, and you never knew. Like, I knew early on, just because, you know, we, after doing this as long as we have some sources within the program, that they were in search of a long snapper. Like, they were not interested in doing another Kennelly Brozio conversion. They went looking for a long snapper, and they found one. Anyway, brought in eight guys And I think a lot of times, you know, they brought in a bunch of non-D1s and guys get concerned about that. You know, I would certainly point you to Michael Buto. I would certainly point you to Braden Thomas, man. Like I would honestly take a division, a really, really good Division II player over a D1 drop down, you know, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't, right? Like, I think you'd be pretty happy with, obviously, a Tamarick Williams. You'd be pretty happy with a King Frazier, but for every one of those, there's a Jalen Peoples, and there is, you know, Alex Elliott, and some of that stuff isn't, like, Alex wasn't Alex's fault, but I've seen that plenty, where, they're coming from Nebraska, or like that offensive tackle that went from Oklahoma to South Dakota State and couldn't beat out Sam Hagen. Like, I'm not worried about where these guys are coming from. Get them in. Get them to be Bison. I almost like the shotgun approach at corner. It's like, you guys both come in, you duke it out. Like, we feel pretty confident about who one starter is going to be, but you guys duke it out.
Yeah, that was on my mind as well, because people are talking about, like, oh, we should be getting, you know, when they signed, or not signed, they grabbed DJ Volts and DJ Davis. So we, fantasy, whatever, we should be getting these power forward drop downs. They all want to come. I took the time, because I had nothing to do over winter break.
Love that.
I went and looked at all of the power forward transfers NDSU has had in D1 era. It's a spoiler, it ain't great.
Yeah, it's what I've been trying to tell people.
Other than King Frazier, I mean, the last guy to really contribute heavily was probably Tony Staus, and that was like a long time ago.
Right, and Tamarick.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I guess at the time SMU was American Athletic Conference, not ACC. Right.
And they actually had more success from the group of six transfers. I mean, when you look at, you know, DJ Scott, if you want to call that successful, T-Mac, Carson Williams, Trent Fraley was certainly a home run.
Right.
And so even the FCS to FCS transfers recently has done well.
ACA.
ACA did, you know, Marcus Shepard, Juliano. There was a corner back in the early part of the dynasty. I can't remember.
Andre Martin. I remember.
And I believe Brian Shepard as well. But yeah, so
that was more UNO's program folding. But yes, yeah, technically a transfer.
And there's, like I said, there's a lot of D2 guys, like you mentioned, not even D2, but also JUCO guys. I mean, that was more probably back in the day, more of a early bowl type situation. But they've certainly had some, you know, guys contribute, like John Pike, Chad Wilson, those kind of guys. Maybe not so much in the last, I don't know, 7 years. But, I mean, you're seeing it with basketball, and maybe that's a little apples and oranges, I don't know. You look at the guys basketball has brought in through the portal.
Yeah.
Simone was at Northern State.
Right, D2, yeah.
It's not just NDSU either. Like, Oscar Clough, I don't know how you view that one, because he started JUCO, went to Wazoo.
Yeah.
That's kind of a whatever, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Jeremy Kelly, I just keep randomly randomly popping my head, but we'll see. I guess we'll see.
So brought in the two Division II corners, brought in two defensive ends. I think one is NAIA, and then...
Yeah, Montana Tech.
Montana Tech, and then...
K-State is the...
Right, and that would be your power four drop-down, so we'll see how that goes. Toby Anena's brother, Kenny, is from KU. So they brought in a Wildcat and a Jayhawk. Dickinson State tight end, and then they did replace some specialists. Lost Coach Will Johnson, replaced him with Lou Walker. Very interesting in the sense that Lou, you know, had the job that he has now before and took it to coordinate an FCS defense elsewhere. And then, you know, obviously, kids come back to the same role, now has the, you know, salary as the assistant pool for NDSU increased for sure. It definitely has. I assume that you know, maybe they weren't having success, and he just views this as, okay, well, maybe instead of a FCS coordinator, maybe the next step is what Will Johnson did. Maybe I'd like to be an FBS position coach next, and maybe viewing it as a stepping stone there. Maybe just Mrs. Fargo. The 5 years to play five thing keeps gaining steam, excuse me. Certainly with, you know, the four-game rule regarding redshirting, potentially looking towards, okay, might be a nine-game rule. And the nine-game rule is the step where the next step is five to play five. And I see, I mean, obviously it would, you have to come up with a new word because freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you know what I mean? Like if you're going to have to come up with a new word because red shirts don't exist. So I don't know, maybe just 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I don't know. But you're, I think, talking about kind of standardizing everything in the sense of getting rid of these appeals, getting rid of medical red shirts, getting rid of whatever. Like, you have five to play five. If you get hurt and you lose a year, that's the way it goes. Like, you know, stuff happens, right? And then you know, you hope, obviously, that you stay perfectly healthy and you get to play college sports for 5 years. Or, again, you get hurt. Or you're not ready to contribute in year one. And you take a red shirt by the, you know, DNPCD. Did not play. Coach's decision, right? So, I understand kind of you could take some of the messiness out of all this, I guess, is what I'm going with. Hoops. Boy, it's been fun. Other than that UTEP tournament, man. And the Oregon State game still just like, yeah. Just claws at me. But massive win over South Dakota State. North Dakota State wins that game by 11. We'll get into it, but that was not an 11-point game. I mean, they cooked SDSU. Great crowd, over 3,300. That was the best student section I've seen since the BSA, period. And I get that they gave away jerseys, and you know what? They give away jerseys every night. Find a different company to sponsor a jersey giveaway. And I don't even think these were sponsored. I didn't see any company logos. Like, they were sick. People came, lined up for them. There should not be, and I don't know how well done it is now, but I remember going down to Frost and that stupid little bleacher thing behind one of the baskets, they called it the Rabbit's Den. And a part of me was so jealous of that because it's like, this just doesn't exist at North Dakota State. It just doesn't. With that said, obviously at that time and still, the level of success of football was not at the same level as NDSU. Now, they won those two COVID national championships, but they probably viewed themselves as a basketball school. So it's a little bit different, right? And then you get into all the rest of the excuses. There's less things to do in Brookings. There's, you know, Fargo's a big town. Blah, blah, blah. You get to all that. The Rabbit's Den should not be better than those seats on that baseline at North Dakota State. And man, it was awesome. They had the big heads. They had the jerseys. They were rocking and rolling. I went to use the bathroom. I found one kid just like re-examining his entire life. guys were just turned up to come to this thing. And it about brought a tear to my eye. Dave gave them a standing ovation before his press conference. I'm just, man, it was fun. I loved it. I really, really, really loved it. Getting to see that level of interest in this program and in the rivalry, and it was just great. It was just great. There's no reason it can't be like that. This is not an 8,000 seat stadium. This is a 5,000 seat stadium. We're asking for 1/6 of a football crowd. It's like we're asking for 1/6 of a football crowd, man. It should be doable.
And this is the, okay, so I've been in Fargo for 4 years. This is the best team by far in that it's the best team since COVID. I mean, they're 15-5.
Okay.
Yeah, we can split hairs. Whatever.
Yeah. Really care, okay.
They're really good, is the point.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's a football school, and, you know, it's...
I think last year's team at the peak of its powers is comparable. They just were never healthy for big stretches.
Yeah.
Because I think Mone is the best player of the two teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jakari might be the second best player of the two teams.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, but it doesn't matter. We're arguing semantics now. And then, obviously, you're now talking about, like, taking the Rocky Sam Tyree teams and throwing them out the window.
I guess. My point.
this is not the podcast for this conversation. Continue on.
They're on par at very least. Like
they're very good. And what I will say, unfortunately, and I think this is where you and I sort of disagree on what we're talking about now. The league is worse.
Yeah.
The Sam Rocky Tyree team would eat this version of the Summit League for breakfast, dude. But it doesn't matter. We're talking about different things, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you look at the bottom of the league, and it just isn't.
It's dark, man. It's scary.
I understand Oral Roberts almost did what they did a couple weeks ago, but I look back. That was the largest crowd for a non-UND game in like 3 years since the Max Oral Roberts team came to town. It's been that long. I mean, and I recall the student section was pretty close to that game. And I know there were some meetings had about how to improve some of the, you know, attendance. And
yeah, they're taking it seriously.
They're taking it
seriously. Yep. And I know one of credit Matt Larson, credit Troy Gergen, Dave. Credit David, 100%. Yep.
I know somebody brought up to me that they, you know, suggested was maybe putting the student section behind the opponent's bench.
That's where it used to be.
I don't know. There was a pretty BS answer from what I understood as to why that's not going to happen. But nonetheless, if the student section's full and loud, it doesn't really matter where they're at, because on Wednesday night, they were getting it, especially that front row there, they were getting into it.
Yeah.
And so.
And I think part of it, Mike, I mean, I don't know what you, when you talk about the BS answer, I don't know what you're talking about specifically.
Being dramatic.
Okay, but I know, so I think like the first six rows or whatever are reserved for the road team. A lot of the times that just doesn't happen, right? Like UMKC doesn't get six rows worth of fans plus moms plus dads, right? South Dakota State didn't even bring six rows worth of fans plus moms plus dads. It just didn't happen. So I understand what you're saying, but all of the seats above that are paid for season tickets.
Yeah.
So you'd have to take paid for season tickets people and put their ass on the baseline on bleachers. Yeah. That's the problem.
Because yeah. I've sat on those bleachers. I gotta stand up after every 10 minutes. Like,
yeah.
And so
then you wouldn't have survived the BSA, but that's another conversation for another day. You couldn't have lived that life. It was a cold life.
I just looking forward, I'm hoping St. Thomas, and we'll get into that too, that because these are the two best teams in the Summit League are gonna play on Saturday.
Yes.
1 o'clock.
Yeah.
There should be a lot of people there. It's a Saturday. Go to the game. You got nothing else to do. You're not watching Kentucky and Tennessee on TV. You're not doing anything. Like, I mean, maybe some people are, but we get to the game. You know, that's
my nothing better to do on Saturday.
Exactly. And so I'm hoping it stays the same, because just frankly, like, Omaha is not going to get 3,300 people. It just isn't.
Yeah.
So.
You know, should though. I mean, we can bemoan this all day. We got to move on a little bit here. Made 14 threes. They made 9 threes in the second half. A bunch of those were from Trayson Anderson. Trayson had another 20 piece. This is not even my job. And frankly, I am now a coach at a different institution. For the love of God, people, the Green and Gold Fund. You know, for every $50 you pledge to the Green and Gold Fund, please pledge $1 to Copper Golf. But no, in all seriousness, like, there might not be a number, you know. for a kid like Treyson Anderson, but a young big with his skill set, folks, this is the point of the Green and Gold Fund. This is the point, is having a chip and a chair, a chance to have a conversation with a Treyson Anderson before he's a Creighton Blue Jay or a Nebraska Cornhusker. And it sucks. It does suck that we, as people analyzing North Dakota State athletics, immediately, once a young player starts to play well, start to worry about losing him. That part of what college athletics is now is unfortunate. We should be talking about how gosh darn excited we are to see what Treyson Anderson looks like as a senior, as a potential Summit League Player of the Year candidate. Shoot, he could be a... If this was 10 years ago, we'd be thinking about him as a potential two-time Summit League Player of the Year, as a junior and a senior. Mm-hmm. And now we're worried about Treyson Anderson, the Gopher, Treyson Anderson, the Jay, Treyson Anderson, the Cyclone, things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I digress. Treyson Anderson rules. Call the Green and Gold Fund. Give them all your money.
Yeah, it's the deal with, and I know guys.
Can't take it with you when you go, you know?
Yeah. I know guys have left in the portal or whatever, but Bryce Lance stayed. You had to think the collective helped a little bit there with that.
I know the collective helped with that, but yes.
Avery Coonan, same kind of deal.
By the way, we're going to need a whole new big old bucket of money for Avery Coonan, but that's another conversation.
That's all. It's just any little bit, people that really, really want to be here, and it'll keep them here. That's all it is.
Treyson with 20, 18.2 the last five. He's been awesome in league play. I mean, he's the all-league first team five.
Period.
With a bullet, with a bullet, and I can't remember how the Summit League does it. You know, I've been, all the guys from the Reaching the Summit pod get a vote, but not me. I've only been covering this league for 12 years. I don't know how they do it, as far as if it's just the best five players, but it feels like there's some sort of positional.
There's six on the first team, and I believe it varies some years.
It's not like it's just six guards, right?
Well, some, I think one year it was four guards, maybe.
Okay, a lot of teams are playing four guard lineups.
So
yeah,
probably a 4-2 kind of split.
Sure.
Usually
seems dumb that there'd be six teams because you play basketball with five, but it is what it is. Yeah. NDSU doesn't really have a dude. I think that's real. Gary and Siler would be the closest things, although I guess Jaden Jackson kind of... You know what? All this is just to say, no, they don't have a dude. They have, like, good players. And you could say NDSU's in the same way because nobody's getting buckets like Jackson or Vinny or Tyson or Ben or L.A. or Paul or whatever. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, if you ask Dave, I think he would put Travion in the NDSU Men's Athletic Hall of Fame tomorrow, it sounds like, anytime he gets a chance to talk about him. I think some of this is just like, if we needed this guy to be the man, he could be. Damari, right? Like, I think Andy could get 13 a game if he wanted to. But he doesn't. He wants to have 8 assists every game, right? So, like, I think if you ran the whole offense through Treyson Anderson, well, shit, he's already averaging 18 a game. So, but I get what the argument would be is like, well, NDSU doesn't have a first team all league guy. Maybe you could, I guess you could make a cogent argument that NDSU doesn't have a player of the year candidate, despite being the best team. But I don't. I guess I. Is it would it be what Bjerke or Minnesota?
He might win Player of the Year. So
sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We've lost it here. The NDSU rotation. We always talk about that. You know, it every year it seems, just because of how well Dave usually does constructing the roster. You think like, oh, this is the year they play nine. This is the year they play 10, and every year by the time Summit League tournament's down to like 7.5. But right now, it does seem like 9. And not maybe the 9 we would have gone into the season believing, right? Because I think we both thought maybe the sixth man was going to be Carson Smith, and he's completely gone. But in that same breath, there are two guys that started against Oregon State that are not in the lineup anymore, because Tay Smith and Noah both come off the bench now, right? So, it's interesting. But Carson Smith is the one that fell out of the rotation, and Max Marley is the one that really has never quite gotten in, if that makes sense. Like, Max has certainly played in games, but he's never been like in the rotation for a couple of weeks. That's just not happened yet.
No, it hasn't. And to be honest, I didn't think Carson Smith would be the odd man out of the, you know, of the nine.
I get it though, because he's not that athletic. Dave has said he's not that athletic, and this team is so athletic and able to create turnovers and play high pressure defense and get up and down the floor and do all those things. If you're going to have Carson Smith out there, he's got to shoot it really well. He's got to score. He's got to move the ball well and not turn it over. And like, those have been some issues. There have been a couple of turnovers, not a ton, right? But he's like this in practice, and this was the case last year. I mean, they barely redshirted him, barely. Sees the floor well. I mean, coach's kid, sees the floor well, smart basketball player, shoots it well, does everything right, you know, just is not a super, super duper athlete. But the shooting percentage is not where it needs to be, and the turnover numbers are not where they need to be for him to overtake these other guys that can run around, defend, cause steals, rebound, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's a good point about the athleticism. You heard Brian, I don't know, his presser that he had with us briefly after the game, if it's out anywhere, but, you know, he was asked about, you know, is the difference noticeable?
That's a great question. Really smart guy asking that question.
That was you.
You forgot. That's funny. That's okay.
anyway, but he's like, yeah, I think it's really smart what they're doing because, they have the personnel to do it.
Yeah.
And they absolutely do. And nothing against Carson Smith. You gave him, you know, his flowers of what he can do well. He can shoot the ball. He's got to keep his turnover numbers down. And, you know, because he's not the most athletic guy. That isn't to say there can't be a spot for him in the future. It just probably isn't with this team.
Right. I'm sure Emil 3 weeks ago was like, dude, am I just going to hang out like on this bench?
Yeah.
So.
And, I made the comment to you also, like, yeah, Massey and Scooter don't always play, but they went to a pretty defensively strong lineup for a little bit last night with Massey and Scooter, and I believe it was Trevion and Mari with whichever big was on the floor. Kind of suits the identity. So, I mean, those two are going to play.
For sure. Yep.
This is the other thing. Like, SDSU, just the last, like, this is kind of your point about what the Vinny and Tyson teams would have done, what even the Rocky and Sam teams would have done. SDSU is still probably the third best team in this league.
Right. There ain't Max Asmus and Kevin O'Banner, like, coming through that door.
Yeah, and that's probably can largely be attributed to the portal.
100%.
Because who did SDSU bring in through the portal? A couple D2 guys.
Right.
Who play 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And just some teams hit it.
Former walk-ons at Wisconsin, I think. Like the hurdle kid or with the white tights and all the complaining. I got Matthew Moore's thoughts too, but we don't have that long of a...
You have Matthew Moore. Omaha... I'm more scared of Omaha than I am of some other teams, just because of Tony Osborne's that dude.
Well, Tony and Lance can just go. Like, if you catch Omaha on the wrong night, Tony Osborne and Lance Waddles can get your ass, period.
And even that Miami transfer they added, Jobe or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever his first last name is. You know, he wasn't eligible for the first semester.
So Rudy Gobert's cousin.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when he dropped 20 or whatever, 3 games wrong, like, who the hell is this dude? And he did it again.
Yeah.
And their center, who I've never heard of, dropped 20 points.
His center needs to go by the damn rim when there's 5 seconds left on the clock and not be out by the free throw line
That is also true.
but bully for him, because NDSU's 5-0 instead of 4-1.
Yeah. But no, Omaha can light it up. Denver can light it up. And those are a couple teams to watch. But beyond that.
Was that South Dakota State Denver game in Brookings or Denver?
I believe that it was in Brookings.
So then I'm not convinced that South Dakota State's better than Denver. On a neutral floor, which the only neutral floor is in Sioux Falls, well, which isn't even really neutral, but yeah, I would be interested to see. I guess I would be interested to see if Denver gets their one back in Denver against. And I don't know what kind of home environment they got. I mean, it's the first year of Berge. Maybe that's going well from an attendance standpoint there. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what kind of home advantage is there. I know what kind of home advantage is still at Frost. Said not much to do in Brookings. We'll go to that basketball game. That's a full building most nights, certainly. Yeah, very little, obviously, from Massey and Scuda, but they need those minutes. Massey, obviously, with just huge, huge threes against Omaha in the comeback, massive. I think he's going to be a player. I think, too, with the portal, like, I think they're thrilled to just be getting. And of course, they want, you know, Tay Smith can't come back because Tay Smith is like 25 years old. But you know, I think, right, like you'd have a level of concern about losing TC. You would have a level of concern about losing Andy. You would have a level of concern about losing Damari. Now, are they all gone? I don't know. Maybe they all come back. That'd be awesome. That'd be a you know, preseason favorite number one team with a bullet. But at least if you lose one or two, you have Riley Massey, and you're not starting over with a Riley Massey. Okay. Yeah, you know, we can argue about whether we think South Dakota State or Denver is the third best team in the league. Doesn't seem to matter yet, right? I mean, everyone thinks it's NDSU versus St. Thomas, so we'll see how that goes Saturday. Be there or be square. Women's hoops, they're at South Dakota State. 2 o'clock on Saturday. This is probably the year. Haven't beat South Dakota State since 2015. I don't know much. I don't know that this win is going to be at Frost or First Bank and Trust or International Bank of Omaha or whatever the hell that place is now. I'm probably just going to call it Frost. I think if they get them, it's going to be up here. but it seems like they could get them. I think their net rating right now, for whatever you think of net, is above.
I do have it in here. It is, NDSU is higher.
It's okay.
44, SDSU is 50.
How about, I'm going to look this up. This is great. Great podcasting. Is there BPI for women?
I'm not sure. I will say this, though. This thing I had written down is, I'm sure most of you folks have heard, but...
No is the answer to that. I'm just finding out there isn't BPI. There is a net ranking, but there is not BPI.
The women's bracketology, Charlie Cream, I believe his name is, who's basically the Joe Lenardi of the women's bracketology side, has both teams in as an 11th seed right now.
Yeah, and the co... Go ahead.
11 seed is not just sneaking in by the last four in.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is.
It kind of, yeah, because of the large distribution. Yeah, South Dakota State right now is receiving a vote in the coaches' poll. And what is it? I think 45 teams get in, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Because you've got 68 teams. And what does that mean? 23 conferences?
Yeah.
So you have 23 conference champions, yeah, and 45 other teams. Yeah. So you have to be one of the other 45 teams. I think that's because John Rothstein has the Rothstein 45, and I think that's where that number comes from. I think. If I'm wrong, it's very, very possible. I'm not committed to this statistic. I'm not committed to this narrative, but I do think that it's correct. Okay. Yeah. Regardless, you're probably looking, hopefully, at an NCAA tournament team. You know, I think you just I mean, if they can go 14-2 in the league, getting swept by South Dakota State, you probably go into the tournament. Yeah. As long as you then lose to South Dakota State in the title game. Right, yeah. Don't get beat by UMG.
Up in Grand Forks like they did last year. I think this is the year, and again, we don't necessarily cover this team closer, I think, but like, and I mean SDSU women, but last year you looked at their team, they had four players, roughly, who could be the one on any team. I think they might have the best player in the league, in Brooklyn Meyer, but beyond that, there isn't really, everyone else is averaging 8 to 10 points for them.
Right.
So it's a big if, but you slow her down. We'll see. But yeah, this is the year. Jory's got him cooking.
Yeah, support those women for sure. You know, our directive from 24/7 and from CBS is to cover men's basketball and football. But there are times when we need to show the baseball team love. There are certainly times when we need to show the women's basketball program love. And by God, this is one of those times, 100% with women's hoops. Man, they're awesome. And Jory's a great dude, too. Like, I hope fans get a chance to kind of interact with him a bit. Any chance you get to go to, like, a Bison Open or go to a women's basketball coaches show, Jory will give you the time of day. He's a really, really good person. And it's not all coaches are that way, because sometimes to be as competitive as they are, like, there are coaches that they're not great dudes. Like, I've been around them. That is not David Richmond. That is not Jory Collins. These guys are awesome. Okay, St. Thomas preview, pretty darn clear. They are the two best teams in this league. St. Thomas right now is 117 in net. NDSU, 136. St. Thomas now first year eligible for the tournament. They're the preseason favorites. It's not that hard to figure out, guys. They are the number two team in an enormous market in Minneapolis with loads and loads and loads of Catholic school money. Just, I don't think people, I mean, they got thrown out of the MIAC for basically creating an unfair advantage because they have so much GD money. And there aren't even scholarships in the MIAC. And I'm not saying what the MIAC did was okay. But, like, when people – I don't think people understand that when folks talk about, oh, St. Thomas wants to go to the Big East and compete with Marquette and Creighton and Villanova and the St. John's and DePaul and the other, you know, Catholic, Christian, Jesuit, whatever schools, how easy that would be. Like, they could flip a switch. And I'm not saying that to complain, but I will throw up. It's the same thing as it. I'm going to rant now. It's the same thing as Indiana football. The next person that starts just, oh, Kurt Cignetti. Oh, my gosh. Like, good coach, great coach. He's in his 60s. If he was the best coach in the history of college football, there would have been more winning earlier. I want this player, and guess what? Mark Cuban writes a check for that player. Again, Mark Cuban, not here, right? Not you know, doing the thing for St. Thomas. But there is just giant, giant bags of St. Thomas money that people don't understand. And it's a massive deal, not necessarily all the time in acquisition, but in retention. Guys that would have left other programs but didn't leave St. Thomas because the bag is so large. Rant over. And I don't know why Indiana football got dragged into all this, but like, this Cinderella Division III to Division I story makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, they have, I think Kendall Blue is like the first, is he like the first and only transfer they've really had? I mean, they just don't lose.
I know, like, they lost Andrew Rohde, but.
Oh, yeah.
But Bjorklund stayed. I mean, you could go down the list of guys who have stayed. Minnesota is the sophomore, right?
Yep.
He stayed. He should be at God knows where. Like, yeah, I mean, their ability to retain is unbelievable in a transitional league like this.
And if you just look at their roster, it is all Minnesota and Wisconsin. I mean, they're getting all these dudes. And, hey, instead of going here, like, stay in the state.
A lot of it is what NDSU used to be. And not that NDSU is completely strayed from, but I mean, that team didn't exist. That's what Saul Phillips built the program on. That's what Tim Miles built the program on. Because the team in the second Division I team in Minneapolis wasn't a thing. Oh, the Gophers don't think you're good enough, Ben? Come on, be a Bison. Oh, Mike Nelson, the Badgers don't want you? Come be a Bison. Brett Winkleman. Name it. Marshall Bjorklund. Right. You know, you can keep going, right? Paul Miller. The hop, skip, and a jump to the University of Wisconsin from where Paul Miller played high school ball. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a matter of time. I don't know how long that'll be.
Right.
Before they...
Aren't NDSU's problem anymore, but yeah.
Yeah. Nevertheless, that is a problem for after the season, because they still have to contend with them.
Or after many seasons, yeah. Nobody knows.
Hopefully those plural seasons are not too far. That sounds a little... Anyway, but no, Minnesota, he's a dude. You know, he's 6'5"-ish. Very strong, very good in the paint. Not a great shooter. We're really good around the rim, good athlete. They got some other guys that Miami transfer and just closed the roster. Johnson Origu Johnson, you know, city's kid, Maple Grove kid, went to Miami, came back. He's a dude. They got a freshman who's pretty good, Jan, Nick Janowski. They're pouring it in. Carter Bierke is still there shooting threes at the top of the key all game.
Yeah.
Van Oosterbond is doing the same thing in just a few minutes. So they got some dudes. They don't make mistakes. They defend well. They hit threes. They seem to especially hit threes against NDSU. Not great athletes maybe, but...
But I'll say this. I went on my rant about, you know, private school money and this, that, and the third. Johnny Tower's awesome. Okay. Good dude, great basketball coach. They're well coached. They play like a well coached team. Yep. Don't get me wrong. It's the Cinderella story. I can't with that. Cinderella ain't here. yeah, exactly. Cinderella ain't here. Good person as a coach. Good coach as a coach. That's not the issue. This is a real basketball team coming in to play another real basketball team. Be there.
Yep.
Come to this game.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Saturday afternoon, be to the track.
All right, thanks to our sponsor, Gateway Chevrolet. Thanks for Blake for making the time to come on out here and get this recorded. Thanks to all of you fine folks for listening. Have a great weekend and go Bison.